Okay, let's turn in our Bibles today to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Great song, Junior. Very good. 1 Peter chapter 1. I love to read the book of Peter, or the books of Peter. 1 Peter 1, and look down at verse 23. Just one verse. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. See, Peter's talking about what Jesus talked about. When Jesus told Nicodemus, you got to be born again. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. You can only get saved by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Which liveth and abideth forever. God's word is never wore out. Amen? It's forever settled in heaven. Father, thank you for the word of God. That is the power of God unto salvation unto them that believe. Help me to speak to your people today. Challenge us. Instruct us in righteousness. Give us hearts hungry for your word. Help us to be hungry for your word, and may it instruct us in living a righteous, godly life before a sin-sick world. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever wondered what happened when you were saved? There's a series of things that takes place at the same time when you're saved. They take place in a logical sequence, but they all take place at the same time. For example, when a lost sinner truly repents of their sin and trusts Jesus as their Savior, they are converted. They become a believer. In other words, at the same time, they are justified. At the moment that you are converted, you're no longer separated from God. You no longer have any sin charged to you. You won't be charged with sin at the judgment anymore. When you were justified, that happened the moment you trusted Jesus. I want you to get this today. The day you accepted Jesus, you were justified. As if you have never, ever sinned. At the same time, you were regenerated. You were made a new person. All this took place in the same instant in your life. You become a new person. You actually become a baby in Christ. I say that to say this. As babies, we have to grow, just like a newborn human baby has to grow, to mature. You do the same thing as a Christian. You start off as a babe in the Lord. You don't know nothing, basically. You have union with Christ. We are connected with Christ at the same time. All this happens at the same instant. This is the work of God's grace in a sinner that's converted or saved. And we are and at the same time, we are adopted into God's family. We're adopted into God's family. We are sealed at the same time. Sealed by the Spirit of God. Who is God that can't be broke? That's the reason you can't lose your salvation, church. I'm not a know-it-all preacher, I'll admit that. But some things I know. You can't get lost. Not if you're saved, because the Holy Spirit's got you sealed. You could get lost if you wanted to. Have you ever seen anybody foolish enough to would want to get lost? But you can't. You're sealed. You're a new person. You have no sin charge to you. You see how safe you are in Jesus? And you're given also something else, another goodie. You're given eternal life. All this happens at the same time and other things. But for example, the Spirit of God takes up residence within you at the same time. So you see, all these different things happen at salvation. And from that point on, we're to start growing in the Lord, learning about the Lord, learning how to cause this sinful nature we all still have. It don't get rid of that. That's the flesh. You have to learn how to control the sin nature. And I've had a struggle. I bet you have too. Because sometimes I could knock their eyes out, amen? I mean, that's our sin nature. But we have to learn how to control it. Some of us never learn. And you know what's going to happen? We'll miss out on rewards. Because you can't get by with living unholy as a Christian. And from the time you accepted Christ and was saved, and as these things I said happened to you when you got saved, from that point on, you have the potential of earning rewards. Jesus said of laying up treasures in heaven. It's just like now, you get your paycheck on Friday or Thursday or whenever it is. If you'll take some of it, go stick it in the bank. And next month you stick some more in the bank. The more you put in the bank, when you get old and gray-headed like my wife, you'll have a pile of money in the bank. You see what I'm saying? But if you spend it all, when you get old and gray-headed, you won't have anything in the bank. Amen? Y'all catch on? And so the Christian life is the same principle. So you lay up treasures in heaven by the way you live, the way you treat other people, the way you help get out the gospel, the way you witness, your faithfulness to the church of Jesus Christ, a Bible church. Okay? All this is happening at this very same instant. There's no fooling the Holy Spirit now. Yes, let's get this. Y'all listen to me? You can't fool the Holy Spirit that convicted you that you needed to be saved. He had to convict you that you're lost. And when you're convicted you're lost and you accept Jesus, He knows whether you really accepted Him or not. And a lot of times, I've read and heard where sometimes at a revival, a bunch of young children that go to the altar because one of them went. You follow what I'm saying? But you can't fool the Holy Spirit. He knows whether or not you've accepted Jesus. The Holy Spirit knows who has truly repented of their sin and is trusting Jesus as their Savior. And there's no one who is going to sneak into heaven unsaved. When the rapture takes place, every believer will be snatched out, but not every church member. Because he'll know which one's is which. When one truly believes, they become that new person with a new life as promised by God's word. John 3:15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. 1 John 2:25, and this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. You're going to live forever somewhere. As a believer, you're going to live with the Lord. In 1 John 5:11, this is the record that God has given unto us, given eternal life. And this life is in his Son. You get eternal life only through Jesus Christ. In 1 John 5:20, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. I'm giving you the Word of God, what the Word says. Do you believe the Word? This may be why we have so many church members who are unfaithful and they have no spiritual fruit. They're just church members. They have not been saved. There's an estimated 30 million believers out of 340 million people in the United States. Think about that. They may not be 30 million believers, but some estimate there might be 30 million believers in the United States out of 340 million. Let me give you the spiritual fruit Christian people are to have. In the book of Galatians chapter 5, you ought to have these verses marked in your Bible. In verses 22, we start reading, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. In other words, we're not to let our flesh rule our lives. We're to bring our flesh under control, our temper, our lust, our desires. We're to be controlled by the Spirit and the Word of God. That's why going to church is so important. Being faithful, reading your Bible, being around Christian people. And Galatians 5:22-24 talks about the fruit of the Spirit that should be in our lives to characterize us, who we are. A definite change takes place in the life of any person who puts their trust in Jesus as their Savior. Have you ever heard tell of a drunk getting saved and their life is transformed? Sometimes you see that. We're also baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit, making us members of Christ's church. That's how you become a member of Christ's church. The Holy Spirit baptizes us into his body. The body of Christ is a church made up of born-again believers. That's the church of Jesus Christ. Paul wrote it in 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit we are all believers, baptized into one body, whether we are Jews or Gentiles, whether we're bond or free, have all been made to drink into one Spirit. We're all put into Christ's body, which is his church, by the Holy Spirit. Now, a person can come into a church like this and say, I want to be a member of this church, and normally we accept members. that don't mean they're saved. They can say they're saved, but that don't make them saved. You tell me you're saved don't make you saved. I accept your word is true, but that don't make you saved. In other words, we do not join Christ's church, but we're joined by the Holy Spirit, who knows whether we're saved or not. And we're to join a Bible church after we've been saved and be baptized by immersion. We're supposed to be baptized. Baptized don't help you to be saved or keep you saved or prove you're saved. Being baptized don't do that. Baptism is just a picture of our identification with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. He went down into death. In a watery grave, we go down into death, symbolic of Christ, his death on the cross. And then when we're raised up like he was raised up. That's just symbolic. But the Lord said for us to be baptized. He didn't say be sprinkled. He said be baptized. The Bible tells us to examine ourselves. Examine yourself. Think about what you believe. Think about the way you live. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves, Paul wrote, whether you be in the faith. Or do you really have faith in Jesus Christ? Prove your own selves, he said. That's 2 Corinthians 13:5. If you want to write that down, look it up later. Have you truly turned to God? Depended on God for salvation through Christ? Matthew 18:3. Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. This is what Jesus said. Acts 3:19, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, and when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. When you get saved, all your sin debt is canceled. Isn't that great? Somebody should have said hallelujah. No more sin's going to be charged to you. Well, what about after I'm saved, I sin? You will, many times. But the Bible says we're to ask the Lord to forgive us as Christians. I have to do that every day. Every day. Because we even have sins of ignorance, folks. You sin, don't even know it. And if we won't confess and repent of them, the Lord is going to chasten us. And he can really turn the screws down tight. There are two elements in getting saved. Repentance and faith. Repent means to... You're going this way, you got to turn and go this way. You were going away from the Lord. When you repent, you turn around and go back the other way. And you trust the Lord. That's faith. You put your faith in the Lord, in your confidence in the Lord. And don't depend on yourself holding out, because you'll fail before you get out the door. You put your faith in the Lord. Amen? You put your faith in the Lord. We cannot justify ourselves, nor can we regenerate ourselves. I can't make myself be saved. I'm saved by grace through faith. in Jesus what he did and who he is. God alone can do this. And this is accomplished by repentance. I repent of my sin. Lord, I'm sorry. And I believe in Jesus Christ. You only get saved one time. You can't get saved twice. It's impossible. Can you get born twice? No. You're born one time. You're born again one time. Repentance. A person cannot truly repent until they know they're lost and need salvation. You got to know you're lost. I remember as a teenager, I was scared to go to sleep at night because I was afraid I'd die and go to hell. You ever been there? To know you're lost, you must be under the sound of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You got to hear the gospel. You can't be saved by any other thing than the gospel. The gospel is the death, the burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation unto them that believe, Paul said. The only thing that'll save you is the gospel. I can't save you. The church can't save you. Grandma can't save you. Only the Word of God. The Word of God is the engrafted Word of God. The Bible says in James, that's able to save your soul. Sinners must hear the gospel. If sinners won't turn on the radio, if they won't turn on the TV, if they won't go to a church, if they'd rather go somewhere else, they won't ever get saved. Whose fault is that? It's their own fault. People go to hell because of their own fault, their own choices. God has given you free will. I might preach on that some next Sunday. God has given you free will. That's part of the image of God that you still retain. God is allowing you to choose. You chose to be in church this morning. A lot of people chose to be somewhere else. It's their choice. God allowed them to make that choice. God will allow people to go to hell by their choice. And he'll let them go to hell, loving them all every step of the way there. But it's their free choice. God don't send people to hell, church. People choose to go to hell. On Pentecost, Peter stood up and preached to the Jews. It's kind of lengthy, but let me read these three verses in Acts 2. Beginning at verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brother, what shall we do? Then Peter said, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Acts 2:36-39. And God is calling people by us preachers preaching the gospel. That's how God calls. You're invited to accept Christ. And the Holy Spirit takes that preached word and begins to deal with hearts. Convict, draw, woo. Get you to thinking. I don't want to go to hell, that's for sure. Amen? Y'all mighty quiet. This is an excellent passage for repentance and faith in Jesus by the Jews. Sinners must see they're wrong and God is right and turn to Jesus from sin. This is important. To repent implies a change of view with regard to sin, to God, and to self. You got to believe this book is the Word of God. This is not just any old book, folks. There's no other book like this book. Sin must be seen as personal guilt in God who demands righteousness, and ourself is defiled and helpless to do anything about it. Remember what David prayed concerning sin? Have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgression. You read that, you can just feel the passion in David's heart. He was so convicted when he had sinned. Have you truly repented of your sin to God? You know, if we don't keep a clean heart, your prayers won't be answered. In Acts 17:30, at the time of this ignorance, God winked at, but he now commands all men everywhere to repent. All people. Chinese, Japanese, Russians, Muslims, and Americans. All men God calls to repent because he has appointed a day. Is a day coming on the calendar, on God's calendar. There's a day set that won't be changed in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he raised him from the dead. We're going to be judged by Jesus Christ. That's not good English. It still sounds good, don't it? If you're not as righteous as Jesus Christ, you won't be going to heaven. And the only way you could be righteous as Jesus Christ is by faith. Amen? His righteousness is given to every one of us. We cannot go to heaven by anything we do. Nobody will. Not even Paul. You go by the righteousness of Jesus Christ alone. Luke 24, and he said unto them, thus it's written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Luke 24, 46 and 47. On the day of Pentecost, Peter started preaching repentance in the name of Jesus Christ. And those apostles went out over the Roman Empire taking the gospel. And eventually it worked its way up through Europe and came over here to America, where I heard it and you've heard it. The salvation is in Jesus. Luke 15, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. If there was somebody in here today that needs to be saved and had to get saved, oh, it create a commotion in heaven, because this brings that much joy to the Lord and to those in heaven when a sinner is saved from their sin. Because God loves them sinners so much, folks. You might have a large crowd of church members who need to be saved. Many of them need to be in a Bible church where they can hear the gospel, be convicted of their lost condition, and turn to Jesus for salvation. I'm sure there's many churches today meeting with a lot of lost members, because the preacher's not preaching the gospel. He's preaching a philosophy, a positive thinking, or something else. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. This is the purpose of the cross, where there God judged the sin of the world with his Son. 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead unto sin should live unto righteousness. With his stripes we are healed. It's not our body healing, it's our soul is healed. We've been made whole by faith in our Redeemer who died in our place. In 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also has once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh and quickened by the Spirit. We must believe the word of God and know we are sinners, and only Jesus Christ can save us by dying in our place, paying our sin debt upon the cross. Without this, no one will be saved. Well, preacher, why are you preaching that to us? Most of us in here are saved. Maybe all of us in here are saved. Because you need to know you can tell somebody else. That's why I'm preaching it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So you know. You can share. You can tell. You can pass it on. We're saved by faith alone. Nothing else I can do to get saved but believe what he's did. We're not asked to do anything. God's not told me to do anything but believe. Isn't that something? Isn't that wonderful? My wife wanted me to take her to Pinehurst the other day. And you know, of all days to go, she picked a rainy day. And it rained every bit there and every bit there. And I didn't used to mind driving. But now, for obvious reasons, and especially rainy, Brother Chavis, and going to a strange place where I don't go, I don't like it. But God has not asked me to do anything but just believe him. Just believe him. And he'll get me there. Amen. He'll get me there. And all the time where we're going, recalculating. Recalculating. Because I'd make a turn here or turn there, recalculating. It was a woman. For by grace are you saved through faith. Listen to this, folks. What a beautiful verse. For by grace, undeserved favor. We didn't deserve it. See, this is the awesome thing about it, the whole deal. We don't deserve to be saved. Now, I think I should be, don't you? But from God's point of view, he don't see anything in us. We're just rebels, enemies. Enemies of righteousness, folks. You better not get too proud. For by grace, undeserved favor. Nothing in us, but God loved. God loved us that much. For by grace are you saved through faith. If you'll just believe, I'm willing to save you. And that's not of yourself. Even the faith to believe is a gift from God. You see how helpless sinners are? Even the faith to believe comes from hearing the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. And so if you're rambling the roads and doing your thing and you don't hear this, you wind up in hell. That's plain. It's true. And most people's going to wind up that way, according to Jesus, the author. The one that knows. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Them Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, and others like that are out beating the doors, thinking it's going to get them to heaven. It's not. They're condemned the whole time. And besides bugging somebody. Romans 3:28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Living good won't get you to heaven. Being moral will not get you to heaven. Dying as a hero won't get you to heaven unless you're saved. The only thing that gets you to heaven is the blood of Jesus washed away your sin. That's all. That's all. God has done everything for us. Not asking us to do anything. Just accept my son. That's all. That's all. Faith and works. Now let me share with you in conclusion this. What James said in James 2:20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? If you got faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you shouldn't have to tell me. I ought to be able to see it. Amen? You prove your faith by the way you live. By the things you do, the way you talk, the way you walk. James 2:26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. You might say you're a Christian, but if you're cussing, running around, drinking liquor, etc., where's the Christianity in all that? I'm just telling what the scripture says. Without, as the body without the spirit is dead, I just saw a dead man the other day. He wouldn't say nothing. He weren't there. Just a body. So faith without works, You should have evidence in your life that you're a believer by your faithfulness to the Lord. Our life should have works to prove we are saved. We're not saved by our works, but by the way we live should verify we've been born again and become a child of God. So when people go to these churches preaching a false gospel, there are many, they are likely never going to truly repent and trust Jesus. They may have an emotional experience. That don't make you saved. Just because you cry don't make you saved. To have an emotional experience or think being a member of a local church makes them right with God, little knowing they are being deceived out of their souls. 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the god of this world has blinded the mind of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Amen. Satan's blinding people right and left today. I'm as good as them people at the church. Amen, you sure are. But the people down at the church at Country Bible Baptist have been saved, brother. Amen. Amen. And for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians 6:12. What we've been seeing on TV this week, it's just not them people you're looking at. It's the powers of darkness using them. The powers of darkness using those deceived people. And they ain't got sense enough to know it. Because most of them probably don't even know what a Bible is. Yes, the devil is busy using every angle he can to keep people from salvation and Jesus as their personal Savior. He's a busy fella. He's got every angle he can think of to get at people to deceive them. You haven't been deceived, have you? You've been saved, amen? Amen. Let's love the Lord. Serve the Lord. Share the Lord. Love the Lord. Because one of these mornings we're going to hear the sound of the trumpet, and I don't believe it's going to be long. Amen? And I'm going to be like that song we used to hear, singing, telling this world goodbye. Amen. I don't even believe we won't just tell it goodbye. We'll be gone so fast. Amen. May the Lord speak to hearts, challenge hearts. Let's pray for one another. Love one another. Encourage one another. Because you won't ever regret it. Amen. Loving God, thank you for this day, this opportunity. Lord, our time goes so fast. Goes so fast when we open up your word. Oh, Lord, may it lodge in our people's hearts, Lord, bringing refreshment and reminding them of the grace of God that would save sinners like we all are. Lord, help us to treasure our salvation, to guard our salvation, our testimonies, to walk careful before the Lord, praying for those that need salvation, praying for those that are sick and afflicted, and all these many needs in our bulletin, praying for our nation, Lord. Lord, our beautiful nation being destroyed by the works of the devil, Lord. Lord, we come against him in Jesus' name. We plead the blood of Jesus for our country, Lord. We pray for the glory of our God. Amen and amen. May God speak to hearts. Maybe you want to come this morning to the altar. I believe we're going to have communion here.